how far have we got with the campaign for getting respect for women?
I think we haven't got anywhere with the campaign for getting respect for women, and it's largely because it's very difficult to make changes unless you have legislation to ensure that those changes are effected. I think it's really difficult to expect this generation of men to change in even a five-year period. So, and I mean, I, for one, and I'm sure you're pretty much the same as I am, I'm not interested in being a policewoman for men's behaviour. I just want them to behave in a respectful, natural way, in a respectful, natural environment.
And in the case of the Roosters, they can't just say, well, they don't know. They've been trained. They've actually had, I think Professor Catherine Lumby was involved in that training about the appropriate behaviour towards women and I guess those issues around sexism and attitudes towards women.
Look, I think it's really tough to get a bunch of guys of any kind, stick them in training, who knows how long it takes, and then expect them to behave well. It's, you know, I mean, I think about all the things that we're meant to do naturally after a 3 to 5 year degree or 3 years in TAFE. It's hard to change our natural behaviour. And in addition with footballers, they're kept in this little cocoon where I don't actually think they have real friends or real relationships because, you know, a real friend would have said to Mitchell Pearce, you are behaving like an ass. And now I'm going to take you off to rehab and I'm going to read you various bits of feminist literature. I mean, obviously, I'm joking here, but a real friend would not sell out a real friend to the media. What he did was really disgusting, but it just absolutely highlights the kind of culture that these guys live in.
Are you of the view that it takes other men to step in cases like that to say, look, mate, you know, settle down and you can't do that?
Well, I think it would be great if other men did step in, but I actually think it needs the whole community to say this is not acceptable behaviour. And you can see that the whole community across a whole range of people, we've got ministers behaving badly towards women. We've got footballers behaving badly towards women. You walk past a work site and you see blokes working on building sites behaving badly towards women. So, it's an entire cultural behaviour which we can't undo with a few years of feminism or even 30 years of feminism.
And you can already hear the voices out there going, look, he's at a party, he's had a few drinks, he's mucking around.
Yeah. See, the mucking around bit really annoys me because it shouldn't be part of their mucking around toolkit, excuse the pun. I think one of the things we need to say here is if you look at how we were able to change the rate of smoking in a 20-year period, it actually cost Australia a lot of money to get the rate of smoking for 12 to 17-year-olds down from 24% to 6%. You know, millions and millions of dollars went into that education campaign. Can you see a government taking up a education campaign to stop sexism? Because if you could, we would be able to change it in a 20-year period.
Right, let's talk a bit about Mark Latham now, speaking of...
speaking of the too hard basket.
I think this Mark Latham thing, he's criticised Rosie Batty. He's using that kind of not all men line, you know, saying that she's kind of used this campaign to suggest that all men are, you know, potential rapists or, you know, domestic violence abusers or whatever. Let's dissect that not all men argument, shall we?
Well, of course it's not all men. But of course it's men who are mainly the killers and the abusers. And anyone who says differently needs to sit down with those lovely people at the Australian Institute of Criminology and go through the figures. Yes, there are some women who are violent and who are abusers, but very small proportion. They are not the murderers. They are not responsible for fatal violence against their partners. So not all men, but mostly it's men who are guilty of doing those things. I get really annoyed with him when he starts rambling on about, you know, Rosie being a lefty feminist. I mean, Rosie is a absolutely charming person who wasn't actually engaged in politics before Luke was murdered. She's just an ordinary mum.
And she's spoken out in such a clear and articulate way that has had incredible traction right around the country, where we've seen, you know, real commitments coming out of government about taking action on domestic violence, which is something that your Destroy the Joint campaign has also been involved in moving along. But what I guess is, I think, a bit of a worry here is that this Mark Latham on Triple M, there's this whole kind of blokes world campaign going on at Triple M, which I'm not sure if you've been aware of this, that is kind of trying to categorise, well, these are our listeners and they're blokey blokes, and Mark Latham and his attitude fits in with that.
I know many decent and wonderful men who think he is a tosser and who just don't have the same kind of platform to say, in fact, you know, who would never say that he was right, or and who consider themselves to be blokey blokes. I just think, I mean, I'm actually of the view now that we have to concentrate on the kinds of ideas that he's spreading and debate those, but totally ignore him. I mean, he is a nobody.
Well, he's someone who's potentially being offered a column to write in The Age, Fairfax paper. I mean, that's a pretty prominent position. Why do you think they're, you know, potentially offering that to someone like him when he's already been exposed for being behind that supposedly fake Twitter account, which was abusive towards women? Is this just about a publicity stunt for The Age? What's going on?
You know, I've been thinking about that. I've been thinking maybe they want to have someone who's voice is so incredibly at odds with A, public opinion, B, evidence around family violence. Maybe the editor-in-chief of The Age is looking for a bit of tick bait. But, you know, I think we can do better with cats and dogs than we do with Mark Latham.
Well, yeah, it'll be interesting to see if after this incident whether The Age goes ahead with that offer. Do you think they would?
I know that they've received a lot of emails and correspondence, lots of queries on Twitter about it. I wonder whether they could withstand the kind of onslaught that happened to the Financial Review after the Financial Review published Latham columns, which attacked not just Rosie, but also Lisa Pryor, the former journalist and now a doctor, who, I mean, Latham said utterly appalling things about her, and that's now in court, I understand. I think that I just don't know whether The Age could cope with the onslaught, and worse, with its Victorian audience, which is, I'd say, Victorians are more progressive than almost any other state, than any other state in Australia. You can see that by the turnout to rallies and demonstrations. I doubt that their audience would put up with it, and I mean, I think that would be a real problem for them.
Well, just finally, Jenna Price, because I'm aware that you it's coming up to 11:30 now, but I just wonder, speaking of Trojan horses, how Mark Latham ever got to be the Labor leader?
You know, we're all thinking that. But, of course, the Australian people decided he wouldn't leave Australia. So clearly those people had very great insight into what kind of a person he was. You know, we saw a little bit of that bullying behaviour when he met, or, you know, what looked like bullying behaviour when he met John Howard in the corridor that day. So good on the Australian people for recognising this guy was a tosser. And, you know, I think that politicians all have a few problems. I don't know how he got to be so close to being the Prime Minister. That's the real concern. And I don't know whether we have a bit more... Do we scrutinise our politicians more? Unfortunately, I think we save our scrutiny until they're actually in positions of power. And I think we need to rethink how we appoint our, you know, we nominate candidates. And I think one of the things we could do is, once we get rid of the blokey way in which candidates are selected by parties, we're going to have fewer people like Mark Latham and more people like Anastasia Palaszczuk and Tanya Plibersek.
All right. Well, I guess we'll see how that all plays out. Thanks very much for joining us on The Daily.
Thanks, Catherine. Bye.